is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It is the spring of 1874 in Paris, April 15th, on Boulevard Capucin. A studio associated with Nadar, a man named Nadar, is opening an exhibit of paintings by men who don't have an organizing principle yet. They call themselves the Société Anonyme. They are Degas, Monet, Pizarro, Renoir, Sisley, Cézanne, especially Manet. And they gather to show off their paintings quite outside the accepted way to do this at an enterprise called the Salon. I stopped there and turned to the man who introduced me to all of these intricacies, Sebastian Smee. The new book is Paris in Ruins, Love, War, and the Birth of Impressionism. These are parallel universes. The politics of France in the middle of the 19th century, as America's recovering from the Civil War, are as violent and unending as anything that can be seen in all of Europe and in America. At the same time, these painters, who are now all extremely world famous, are living their lives under the guns all the time. But this meeting in 1874 is their way of moving towards the future. Sebastian, congratulations. A very good evening to you. The men who gathered there, and one woman in particular, Berthe Morisot, what was their ambition? Why did they set up their own show knowing that they were outside the accepted way of making money or being successful? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John, and it's great to be talking with you. You're absolutely right. I mean, this exhibition that you describe in this studio of the photographer Nadar really marks the birth of Impressionism. And you're also right that they were in reaction to another really big exhibition called the Salon. And they had grown completely fed up with that Salon. The Salon was the place where you had to make it as an artist if you wanted to have a career. And that had been the case not just for decades, but for centuries. So a lot of these artists that you mentioned, who, as we know, are now world famous and their works sell for enormous prices at auctions and you see them in all the museums, they had been rejected again and again by the Salon. The Salon was very hierarchical. You had if you wanted to make a big splash, you would paint on a vast scale and you would paint a kind of history painting. Often the subject would be ancient mythology or religious subject matter. You might do a portrait, you might do landscape, but those were lower down on the rungs of the hierarchy. And these artists that you mentioned had grown fed up with this kind of hierarchy. They wanted to paint contemporary life as they saw all around them. They wanted to paint the fresh landscape that they saw as they walked around on the outskirts of Paris, rather than a kind of made-up landscape. So they were in revolt. They had been rejected one too many times. And so they wanted to set up an alternative exhibition. And that happened, as you say, in 1874. And it was really the first revolutionary moment in what came to be known as modern art. It was the first avant-garde move, if you like.
Impressionism. It doesn't exist on April 15th, but it's about to get its name from critics who arrive. And Sebastian is an art critic, so he can help me understand how critics try to frame their reaction to a painting or a sculpture or a drawing. What I understand is that this name comes not necessarily flatteringly, but suggestive of the fact one painting in particular, Monet's Sunrise, it's labeled Impression Sunrise. Was that the departure point, that word sitting there with Monet? And who was Monet? We better attend to the man who painted Sunrise.
It was, that was exactly what gave Impressionism its name. And you're right, it was an insult by a critic, of course. I mean, we critics are always getting things wrong. But yes, it was a painting by Monet, who over the previous few years, let's say around a decade, but especially the previous 5 years, had been loosening up his way of painting more and more. You know, he was aware of artists like Turner, the British painter of seascapes and landscapes, who also loved to paint, you know, vaporous fog and weather effects in loose brushstrokes. So there were precedents for people like Monet, but he really took it further than anyone else. And at first he didn't know what he was doing. You know, he felt that the things he was painting probably didn't deserve to be exhibited publicly. They were just sort of sketches, or there's a French word, pochards, sort of sketchy studies of nature that weren't necessarily intended to be shown in public. If you wanted to display paintings in public at a place like the Salon, it needed to conform to a whole tradition of painting, all the conventions of basing it on careful drawing, picturesque views, very careful compositions. And what Monet was doing, and some of these other artists working in league with him, was really the antithesis of that. These pictures seemed to have no structure, and no deeper meaning. They didn't conform to all those conventions. And that's what the critics found unconscionable. And so this critic who came along to that first Impressionist exhibition wrote a kind of parody of this work, as if to say, this guy must be joking. You can't seriously exhibit something like this and expect it to be taken seriously. And so he sort of made a joke about Impressionism, and the term stuck, and we're living with it now. And these artists are some of the most celebrated in the world, as I said earlier.
One man is not present, even though he's a friend of all the men evidencing their work during this exhibit. There's 200 people the first day. There's 100 every day after that. Meanwhile, there are tens of thousands going to the Salon to see. Even though photography exists at this point, the painters are dominant in telling the story of the times. And the man who is not there is named Edouard Manet. Why he's not there is part of his personality. I don't want to summarize it, Sebastian, because you say it very well. Why did Manet, who's been blood brothers with these men all these years, and they survived the war and they survived the commune, why did he not exhibit in Nadar's studio?
Well, you're right. There's a real irony here. I mean, Manet is not just a brother of these painters, but he's kind of he's often referred to as the father of Impressionism. He's the one who inspires them more than any other. I mean, you can trace a lot of complicated influences on the Impressionists, but the most direct influence is Edouard Manet. And so it's really strange in so many ways that not only does he not show with that first Impressionist exhibition in 1874, but he doesn't show with any of the subsequent seven Impressionist shows over the 1870s and 1880s. And it's complicated. There are various reasons, but I think the main one is that he still subscribed to this idea that to make it as a painter, you needed to succeed at the Salon. And in some ways it was perverse of him to hold to that view, because he, like the others, was frequently rejected by the Salon. But he was sometimes accepted, and his works, when they were accepted, often prompted scandals. He became the butt of jokes. All the critics, looked at his work and laughed at it, ridiculed him. But he had a very early success at the Salon with a distinctive new style of painting. And it's that painting that really got the interest of all these younger painters who became the Impressionists. And so they looked to him as a real inspiration. And his radicalism encouraged them to be more experimental. But he held to this idea, as I say, that to succeed, you really needed to succeed in the big arena. You mentioned that, really only small numbers of people went to that first Impressionist show. That's right. And Manet sort of felt, well, why would you do that? Why would you put yourself off in a silo like that if you could make a big splash at the Salon? And so he decided to keep doing that. But in the meantime, these Impressionist shows kept happening every year or 2 years, and they got more and more attention, and they became more and more influential.
We're going to get into the time machine now and go from 1874 back to 1869, 5 years before. and we're going to meet a young woman who is in love with Edouard Manet, and I believe it's fair to say Edouard Manet is in love with her. Her name is Berthe Morisot. The book is Paris in Ruins, Love, War, and the Birth of Impressionism. Sebastian Smee is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.